Good evening and thank you for tuning into Radio Islam at WCEV 1450 AM. I'm your host, Janann Hashem. We are a live daily call and talk radio program airing from 6 to 7 p.m. Central, and we reach the world by streaming live at our wonderful website, radioislam.com, where you can tap into our past shows, sign up for our e-newsletter on the right-hand side, read bunches of relevant articles, and see us behind the scenes and so, so much more. Again, that's at radioislam.com. Our lines are open. I encourage you to engage in tonight's conversation and to bring your question to the airwaves at 312-263-ISLAM. That's 312-263-4752, especially if you have a question or a suggestion on tonight's topic. It's really, really great if we are to hear from you. Again, that number, 312-263-4752. And of course, let us know what you're thinking on Facebook, Twitter, and SoundCloud, all under the handle Radio Islam USA. So, Olivia.
Yes.
What can people expect tonight, my friend?
I believe we're going to talk about, well, it's New Year, mm-hmm. so 2017.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about 2017?
Yeah, because we already know it's going to happen, you know.
We're already in it.
Yeah.
No, we're actually going to be talking about forming good habits and how to break some of those old habits in three key areas, in one, spirituality, and with family relations, and then just overall, in general, like work habits, home habits, and stuff like that.
Awesome.
My first guest is Imam Ali At-Tamimi. He completed his studies at the Islamic University of Medina in Islamic law, and currently he focuses his time on youth development and positive psychology. Welcome to Radio Islam. Thanks for taking the time to be with us, Imam.
Hey, assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You must be the first Imam that I've ever introduced who said, "Hey, wa alaikum salam, peace to you." Seriously, that's good. You're speaking my language.
That's interesting.
Because, you know, it doesn't say in the Quran that you have to say salamu alaikum, peace to you, you know, to somebody. It says you return a greeting with the same greeting or that which is better. And I love it, you know. Hey, it's like, alaikum salam, yeah, that kind of thing.
Cool. I appreciate it.
Very good. No, absolutely. Just, you threw me off there, and I'm glowing right now. So a new year has fallen upon us, as Olivia has revealed to us tonight. It is 2017.
Just so you know.
So it's not unusual during these first few days, first few weeks perhaps even, for people to look ahead with thoughts of improving themselves. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for tonight's show, we figured Radio Islam got a lot of Muslim listeners out there. We have listeners who are not Muslim, but who might be interested about maybe the spiritual connection and how a person perhaps should approach inner reflection when it comes down to connecting with whatever is sacred to them. And of course, for Muslims, it would be, what is sacred would be God himself. So how would you approach that? If somebody comes to you and say, I want to improve that spiritual connection, Imam, what should I do? What good habits should I get into?
Well, I mean, for, spiritually speaking, I guess the most important thing before actually doing any physical act of worship is to, with your thoughts and with your heart, discover who God is. So a lot of times, especially amongst the younger crowd, when, you see things happening in the world and, them trying to, still formulate their opinions on, their own personal lives, they kind of forget about God, or they kind of, build a negative perception of God. So it's really important to, stop and take a step back and kind of discover who God is, Start from, the basics, I guess. And condition your mind to, to think positively of, who this creator is. And a lot of times the questions that kind of lead to us thinking bad about God, why, and this is a topic in and of itself, but, why did bad things happen? And how come good people suffer and things like that, that's what kind of taints our perception of God and excuse it. And we ignore those things. We don't kind of search deeper for answers and for meaning. So I guess for me personally, it starts with thinking well of God, even self-confidence. I believe that self-confidence stems from positive thinking about God, about yourself, having a positive perception of yourself and about other people. So condition and train our minds to think positively and discover who God really is.
Yeah, you know, we were losing you there for a while, but from what I heard from you is what you do personally is to think well of God, to think positively of God.
Yeah.
And I think what you said is, well, what do you do when it seems like, as you said, bad things happen to good people? How should somebody, if they're thinking positively of God, how does that help them get through that difficult moment?
So, I mean, we personally believe that, you know, Islamically speaking, spiritually speaking, that everything that happens, even if we perceive it as it being bad, if it comes from God, it ultimately brings about good. And that's one side of it. The flip side is we have to hold ourselves accountable. So, for example, the things that we see in the world, a lot of that is a byproduct of us allowing certain injustices to occur, us kind of casting a blind eye to, like, what's happening in the world. You know, people suffering, people facing different types of discrimination, even women, like, them not having, you know, certain equal rights in this country, certain minorities being discriminated against. So us kind of being self-centered and not, you know, being there for each other, it kind of amounts to these types of really bad things happening eventually. So I guess what I'm trying to say is hold ourselves accountable, you know, to kind of take ourselves into account and to understand that nothing happens in this world except because it's like a reason, there's a reason behind it. So kind of holding ourselves accountable.
Yeah, and I think something that we do, at least I do as a Muslim, is I take comfort knowing that I don't have to know what that reason is in the here and now. It could be a reason that will come after I even die, you know. It's just that things happen. You've just got to kind of trust God in the direction it's going to take you in and do your best,
as you said. My favorite quote, like this is arguably my favorite quote of all time, Islamically speaking, is a quote by, you know, a very wise person of the past, Ibn al-Qayyim. And he says, and I'll say it in Arabic and I'll translate it. He says, فَمَا كَسَرَ عَبْدَهُ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِلَّا لِيُجْبِرَهُ وَمَا مَنَعَهُ إِلَّا لِيُعْطِيهِ وَلَا ابْتَلَاهُ إِلَّا لِيُعَافِيهِ وَلَا أَمَاتَهُ إِلَّا لِيُحْيِيهِ, which shows kind of the mercy of who God really is. He says, and, you know, he only broke you to put you back better and more beautifully than before. Hmm. And he only deprived you of what you really wanted to give you something that you did not expect. And he only allowed certain, like, hardships to befall you only so he can manifest his alleviation and ease upon you. And he only takes your life to give you never-ending eternal life. So, you know, having that positive thinking of who God really is, to kind of delve deeper into, you know, begin to hold ourselves into account of why certain things happen, our shortcomings towards each other, and so on.
Yeah, that was absolutely beautiful of what you had quoted there, and I wish that this would be a beacon of light, not just for people who are Muslim. You don't have to be Muslim to believe this and to see it. You can be of any faith and to see that particular light. One thing that you mentioned that I really liked is discover who God is. And one of the things that I do is marvel at his signs, whether it's a sunrise or a beautiful sunset. I went hiking in the southern area of Utah a couple of years ago, and I just stood there. I was hiking through a river. It was amazing. I've never done it before. And it was kind of like this gorge, and you had these two, like, it was just the middle of this gorge, this canyon, and just look up. And I was like, I said to myself, my God, I don't know who you are. You know, because I just saw just more and more and more of his beauty that I'd never seen before and how magnanimous he was. What suggestions do you have to people to try to discover who God is? Is it through reading his books? Is it through, you know, following or reading about his prophets? What do you suggest of how to discover who God is?
So first and foremost, like exactly like you mentioned, to contemplate the things that happen around us. And, you know, one of the things that, because after I finished studying, I kind of focused on positive psychology, like you said. So one of the things that positive psychology teaches is gratitude. And, like, I do this with my mom. I say, like, at the end of the day, I'm like, hey, mama, what good things happened today? And she was like, you know, I had lunch with, you know, this auntie, and I got to see my grandson, and, you know, something made me laugh or whatever. So it kind of conditions, when you do that, it conditions and trains the mind to focus on or to, like, pay attention, appreciate the good things that you normally would, like, overlook. So to kind of contemplate on the things around you, like, you know, how darkness follows daytime. You know, if you wanted, it could have been a switch where all of a sudden you're walking and it just turns pitch black. But there's, like, a gradual change, and it's, like, so breathtaking. In that is a sign of his love. Like, you're reminded every single day of his mercy. You know, he could have done it where, like I said, it just turns black, and, like, okay, we're nighttime. But he put love in that. And so you know, these different signs around us, like the sunrise and the sunset and the stars and something about the sky, even, like, psychologically speaking, the color blue. A lot of commercials use the color blue because it resonates naturally with each person, and it kind of allows us to feel hope. So the sky, it being blue, and it being, you know, that type, you know, those types of things, those signs around us, they really, when you ponder, it takes you away from, you know, reality, from, you know, the things that are happening in the world, and it allows you to kind of connect with him on that personal level of who he really is. So definitely the signs is one. And then the second of all is prayer. You know, I wanted to say read the Quran, but like I said, we have viewers that may have a different book of faith. So prayer. You don't have to say God. You can say, you know, my creator, the one who made me. You know, asking him. There's a certain pleasure that comes when you seek him. You know, even amidst the confusion, amidst, you know, your own personal difficulty, when you really seek him wholeheartedly and with the utmost of sincerity, like really asking him, there's a pleasure and sweetness that your heart feels. And that's why even we believe that Abraham, the prophet Abraham, who, you know, all the three Abrahamic faiths, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, we believe in him and his prophethood. You know, we believe that in Islam, he was asked at the end of his life, what was your most enjoyable time on earth? And you know, he was a prophet. He left this, like, you know, unimaginable legacy. And he said something very profound. He said, my most memorable time on earth, in hindsight, was when I was thrown into the fire alone. Was when I was alone in the fire by myself. And I had no one. And he said that because when you go to God in times of really, you know, like real adversity, very difficult hardship, there's a pleasure in that. So even in difficulty, how perfect is the one who placed even in difficulty this happiness and pleasure and sweetness to be found with him?
And I, what you're saying here, I think, is really important, is being able to get over that burden and just, you know, asking God for whatever. I remember, if I'm not mistaken, a hadith, a saying of the Prophet, even if it's for a grain of salt,
yeah,
to ask for it. He takes pleasure in delivering to his servants along those lines. But what about those individuals who feel silly having to do this for the first time? I think that's the wall that goes up, that, you know, as you said, there's great pleasure in asking God for something, but somebody has to, you have to first get over that barrier of saying, I really feel silly, you know, God, asking you for this, but hey, you know, you see that what I'm in or whatever. What suggestions do you have for having a person get beyond that barrier?
I would say, I mean, start small. You know, start with, you don't have to pray, you know, for like hours or for an extended period of time, to condition yourself. So even the companions, there are narrations where the companions of the Prophet themselves, they would kind of shorten their prayers at times. The Prophet himself, this narration is authentic. The Prophet himself, he would kind of feel out the companions. And these are people who, you know, God selected to be around his messenger. You know, we believe that. So there's a narration that says the Prophet would kind of feel us out to see if it was the right time to give a reminder, to, you know, to connect with us spiritually. And if it wasn't, if he felt that it wasn't, he would refrain from doing so. So to understand that, you know, you are human. You don't have to overexhaust yourself, and to start small. It could be just, you know, a few minutes at night before you go to bed, you know, to raise your hands and to ask him and to connect with him and to ask him for signs and for what's right, for guidance, for, you know, answers. So to start small. And, you know, from that, I do also want to say that a lot of times we see people who are super accomplished and they have all these, like, accolades and stuff like that, and we think they're, like, superhuman. They have this, like, crazy discipline, and it's not the case at all. You know, it comes down to them having small, consistent daily rituals or daily habits. And that's why the Prophet himself, he said, you know, he taught us, he said, the most beloved actions to God are those that are really small but consistent. So something once a day, something, you know, something like that, start small.
I see our time has expired. I was hoping to get into, as you had said earlier, the physical aspects of different things that we can do. But I think you left us actually on a really good point there. Whatever it is that you do, if you want to improve in your reading of the Quran, your learning of the Islamic history, of making your prayers on time, fasting, whatever it might be, it doesn't have to be all 30 days of Ramadan. Start right. Small and just be consistent. You know, right. You don't have to read an entire 1/30th of the Quran every day to read the Quran every day. It can just be a couple of verses. You know, just be consistent in doing it every day. I appreciate what you had to share with us. See the signs of what God has. See the find the gratitude for God. Ask God for things. Start with small steps. These are awesome habits that we can all get started sooner than later.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it, Imam. Take care, and I would do wish you a wonderful year ahead.
Thank you so much, Ma'asalam.
Ma'asalam. Peace to you. So that was Imam Ali Atimi, who completed his studies at the Islamic University of Medina in Islamic law and focuses his time on youth development and positive psychology. Stay with us after the break on Radio Islam. We'll continue this conversation with my next guest, content manager of the Sound Vision Foundation, Samana Siddiqui, who will talk to us about building upon good habits as they relate to family. Radio Islam's a live call and talk show. To add to tonight's conversation, call us at 312-263-ISLAM. That's 312-263-4752. We'll be right back after this.
It's time to reach the world. Advertising on Radio Islam every day is like speaking to a packed house at Soldier Field Stadium. Imagine your reach. With our affordable rates, you will be wondering why you hadn't signed on before. But that's okay. Better now than never. Send your email to advertising@radioislam.com.
You're listening to Radio Islam at WCUB 1450 AM Chicago, and we reach the world by streaming live at radioislam.com, where you can listen to our past shows, you can see our producers' picks, rank our shows if you like. Just sign up in the top right corner there, and you can communicate with us hosts and share with us your show ideas. We'd love to hear your show ideas, or maybe even who you'd like to have on the air with us. Again, that's at radioislam.com. We are a live call-in talk show. We're on the air every night from 6 to 7 p.m. Central. I'm your host, Janann Hashem, and tonight we're taking a look at how to improve our habits. And my next guest is content manager of Sound Vision Foundation, Samana Siddiqui, to talk to us about building upon good habits as they relate to family. Ha ha, yes. Just when you thought your family's behind you, you dealt with them over the holidays, guess what? We're back for more.
Exactly.
If you have your own tips or questions, our lines are open to take your call. 312-263-4752. That's 312-263-ISLAM. We'd love to hear what you have to say. So yes, my next guest joining us by phone is Samana Siddiqui. She's a parent of four children living here in the Chicagoland area. And in addition to serving as Sound Vision Foundation's content manager, she is one of its staff writers on Family Matters as well. Welcome to Radio Islam. Welcome back, my dear Samana.
Thank you, Janann. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Peace to you. So we're looking at developing good habits, and one area that can be improved on for some of us has to do with family. So, you know, there's so many different relationships that are going on within the family dynamic. Let's just start simple with the sibling relationships. For those without siblings, maybe we'll say, okay, with your cousin, right? What suggestions do you have for forging stronger relationships amongst our siblings? And I guess I'm thinking about adult siblings here.
Adult siblings, yeah, that's a challenge. That's a very big challenge, especially, even if you're living in the same city, that can be hard, let alone if you're in a different country or state. It is a challenge because once you have your own family, it's so difficult to carve time for anyone. And parents, of course, get the first priority. And then, you know, siblings are kind of, they get the leftover, depending on how close you are. Of course, this doesn't apply across the board. But it is most definitely a challenge to build good relationships, a close relationship with your siblings when you're an adult, like you said. Very hard. One thing I think is just, one thing I like to do with my own sibling is to just to randomly email or text or call when something familiar or funny that reminds you of a past memory happens. You know, like whether it's a funny commercial you may have grown up watching and suddenly you hear it or you see it somewhere or you take some kind of a memory that you both share as siblings particularly, and just kind of calling or texting or emailing and saying, you know, guess what I saw, and does this remind you of this? You know, just doing that randomly. And that's, you know, of course, we need to build like a regular schedule of calls, like making it a point to call on the weekend or call at least twice a month minimum, excuse me, or FaceTime. But at the same time, you know, those random moments, a lot of times are those cherished memories kind of revived, and those help you rebuild and reconnect with your sibling when you're older.
Yeah, I like what you say there. It's sending that random text. I think the important thing is to send it not wanting to get anything in return. I receive emails from a friend of mine who just says, thinking of you, I hope you have a wonderful day. And she had once told me, when I told her, I'm so sorry I didn't get back to your email. You sent it like 3 weeks ago. She's like, I didn't do it to get a response. I just sent it to you so you know that someone's thinking of you. And I think that you know, the intention of sending it is as important as sending it itself. You know, don't do it hoping to get something in response, because if you do and that person, for whatever reason, your sibling is like in the middle of something or forgets about it, all of a sudden it undermines the purpose, right?
Yeah. You don't want to develop into aggressive. That's a very good point. Yeah, it should just be, it should be in the sense that not expecting immediate reciprocity just because everybody is so busy or everybody, we all forget, our emails get piled, you know, our emails get piled on piled, and then we forget about it, and then we remember suddenly at a random moment, we're like, oh my God.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's a very good point, actually, not expecting immediate reciprocity.
And on the flip side of it, maybe a good habit to get into is, unless you're driving or, you know, there's some kind of emergency in which you need your hands and your attention, immediately send something back, even if it's small, saying ha ha or gotcha or something like that, and then you're off the hook, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that's a good habit to get into as well, just kind of brainstorming off of your suggestion. So I see that we're at the 6:30 mark. What we'll do is next take a look at the child-parent relationship, starting off with the teen children and what teenage kids can do to improve their relationship with their parents. And the reason why I'm doing this is because relationships are two ways, right? It's with the it was with the parent to the teen, and with the teen as well to the adult parent. So we'll talk about that on the flip side of the break. Folks, stay with us after the break on Radio Sound. We'll continue this conversation with my guest, content manager of Sound Vision Foundation, Samana Siddiqui, who will bring us in talking about what teenage kids can do to improve their relationships with their parents. I'm going to give her 2 minutes of this break to think about that one. Radio Psalms, a live call and talk show to add tonight's conversation. Call us at 312-263-ISLAM. We'd love to hear what you have to say, what suggestions you might have at 312-263-4752. We'll be right back.
Radio Islam.
Radio Islam interns don't sit in the corner watching the work get done. They dive into the deep end and hone their skills. To join the Radio Islam team, send your resume to intern@soundvision.com. Radio Islam, there's simply too much work with too little time. Join the Radio Islam team today.
You're listening to Radio Islam at WCUV 1450 AM, Chicago, and we reach the world by streaming live at radioislam.com. We're a live call and talk show. We're on the air every night from 6 to 7 p.m. Central. I'm your host, Janann Hashem, and tonight we're taking a look at ways to improve our habits. And my next guest, or my current guest, rather, is content manager of the Sound Vision Foundation, Simana Siddiqui. If you have your own tips, questions, or comments, our lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. It's 312-263-ISLAM, our number again, 312-263-4752. We'd love to hear what you have to say. And also, as a side note, tonight's program is sponsored by Recycling Processes Incorporated. So, Simana, before the break, we said that we would talk about how teenage kids can strengthen their relationship with their parents through different habits. What is, like, one or two good habit that a teenage kid could get into to strengthen that relationship with their parent?
Well, I'm speaking from a Muslim perspective, and I don't think this is just with Muslims. I think it can apply to, you know, across the board spiritually and across faith traditions. Is the habit of praying together is, I think, a very powerful way to for a family to come together and sort of understand that, you know, it's not just us, whatever the number of family members there are, four, six, or less. We're together, and there is a higher power who loves us and we're answerable to, and who's watching us and cares about us. I think that praying together is very, very crucial. And in Muslim families, because we have five daily prayers, I would recommend even just doing one prayer together. Most likely the one right before bed is Isha prayer is probably the most schedule-wise doable. But whichever one works for your family, I really think praying together, in my experience, for teenagers also is so important, because at that age, we're not just talking about God's love and God's mercy, but also accountability to the higher power, to God. And that's something that when we pray together, it's sort of, I mean, we can, of course, that's ingrained in us when we do that individually, but when we see that even our parents are doing that, I think we understand that our parents, you know, I'm not just like, my parents are also accountable, just like I am. And so there's sort of like this overarching authority which everybody is respecting and seeking love and help from. That binds the family, and it makes teenagers see their parents as not just these people, telling me what to do, but rather they're people who are, they're just as accountable as I am now as a young person. Well, so I really my experience and what I've seen in families that I feel that have good, you know, a good relationship, especially with their teenage children, is to pray at least one prayer together.
Let me ask you this. I'm sorry to interrupt, but what about the resistance that they might get? Oh, I'll do it later, or just a second. And you as a parent, you want to do it now because you have to go to sleep to wake up tomorrow morning. And they're like, I'm in the middle of writing an essay. I'm in the middle of doing some research. I'll do it later. How do we, invite them to make salah, to pray with us, while not pushing them away by saying, no, drop it, come now. You know, there's a fine line, right?
I think that by, first of all, like, if it's something that a family doesn't normally do, to sit down together and say, you know, as a family, and say, look, from now on, the parents, together will, tell the kids, we would like to pray together as a family, and let's set a time. You know, I know that the prayer times change, but because Isha is the last prayer of the day, it can be scheduled in such a way that everybody knows, okay, 9 o'clock is a time with the best time for everybody. So whoever has to stay up later or go to sleep at that time or a little before that, that's going to be our set time from now on. At 9 o'clock, we all pray Isha, no matter what we're doing, no matter how much homework we have, how little we have. That's something we're all going to do. And we, you know, if that doesn't work, then, you know, it's consulting them, saying, okay, if that doesn't work for you, what time is better for you? What's a good time? So then I think if you involve them in a consultation process, in a process of consultation, then they're going to be more likely to be feel part of it, and they won't see it something that's externally imposed, but rather as something they were a decision that they were part of, and therefore they're more likely to stick to it.
Now, let's shift from teenage kids to the adult child and his or her relationship with their elderly parent. What are some, one good habit that they can get into and embrace to strengthen that particular relationship?
I think the most important thing is to call them regularly, every day if possible. If that's not possible, minimum once a week if they're not in the same city. And then in terms of visits, visiting often, bringing the kids, keeping in touch, and you know, making sure that the, you know, with elderly people, people who are at our parents' age, you know, their safety and their health is so important. And you know, it's so important to make sure that we check in on them several times a day, and particularly if they live alone, either as a couple or if you have a widowed parent. Very, very important to check in several times a day, just to make sure. I mean, this is something that the siblings should share. If there's more than one child, the siblings should share this responsibility. You know, so those things are absolutely important, as well as visiting them in person. We have, in my family, my extended family, and my in-laws, we meet once a week. We make an effort, thanks to my mother-in-law, and she insists on it, and I'm very glad she does, that everybody, the whole family, meets together at her home once a week. And, you know, because not just she wants to see us, but everybody wants to, you know, meet each other. It's a whole family coming together and staying connected to each other. If we didn't do that, and if she didn't insist on that, then, of course, it's very easy to let other things eat up your time, because naturally, when you have kids, you have extracurricular activities, you have this, you have that. As kids become teenagers, there's college preparation things, like classes and things like that. So those things all take up time, and it's very easy to let those, the meeting with our parents, become a second or lower priority. So insisting on that as a family, if not the parents, then most definitely the siblings. I mean, start with yourself. If you have siblings, say, look, I want us to keep tabs on our parents. We need to meet more regularly. We can meet as a family. That's the ideal, is everybody meets together, all of the siblings and their families. But if that's not possible, then at least your own family with your spouse and children, you make a point to go on the weekend at least once a week to see how they're doing, have dinner together. I mean, this was actually, this is a tradition that was part of American culture for many, many decades, where Sunday dinner was supposed to be when you went to go see your parents with your kids. It was very, this is before, of course, everybody started moving to different states and moving far away from each other for work. It was a tradition in American culture, Sunday dinner, to be with your parents. And we need to revive that, no matter what our faith.
Now, real quickly, before to wrap up, there's one important relationship we haven't talked about, is the husband-wife relationship. Is there a good habit that a husband can have toward a wife and a wife can have toward a husband that you would recommend?
I mean, there's all these, I've read a lot of suggestions about, I think people call it date night, where it's just the two of you and there's no kids, and you go out together and you do, you know, you can have dinner, you can do whatever you want. And sometimes that's, I think, a very good idea, but it's sometimes just not realistic or doable given everybody's schedule. But I think the concept behind it is really what we should aim for, which is spending some one-on-one time just to discuss whatever the issue is. I one of my friends, I remember, she told me that her and her husband, what they used to do is every night after he'd come from work and the kids were in bed, they would just sit and talk for like 20 minutes. It wasn't even, and they didn't, you know, it was just the two of them. There were no interruptions. Everybody was, you know, they were able to focus on whatever, and it doesn't have to be a very kind of a conversation that was necessarily about a very serious thing, and it was definitely not, you know, something, it could be lighthearted, but it was, the point was that they were able to focus on each other and discuss things that may have happened during the day, or they may have just some random, whatever random thing they wanted to talk about. But, you know, they were not in front of the TV, they were not on their phones, they were specifically, they may be eating together, but they were not doing anything except talking to each other. So
with eye contact, like you said, with eye contact, without the devices there to distract you. You know, I call them weapons of mass distraction devices.
Yeah.
You know,
one
thing that I like is that getting a phone call from my husband with a funny story or something that happened to him during the day. You know, maybe because of our schedules, he can interrupt me more frequently. I don't know, but I really enjoy him just calling and saying, "You're not going to believe what happened to me today," and it's just a quick 5-minute call, maybe less, but just sharing that moment I think is really nice. And for all of the guys out there, sending those random flowers every once in a while is good, right? Can't hurt,
right?
Yeah. Okay, so now our time's wrapped up. Hey, if you want to add something on top of that, chocolate works. Well, Raj here is taking notes for himself, so the day he gets married, he'll be able to check that off his list. All right, Samana, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you so much for having me. Salaam alaikum.
You got it. Alaikum salam. That was the content manager of Sound Vision Foundation, Samana Siddiqui. If you'd like to read some of the tips and tricks that she has written up, you can find them all posted on soundvision.com. And stay with us. After the break on Radio Islam, we'll continue this conversation with my next guest, Abdulaziz Khalid Sayyid. He is a social worker who will talk to us about getting to good habits in general with work, with life, this, that, and the other, right here on Radio Islam. We're a live call and talk show. If you'd like to give your own suggestion of a good habit to get into, or if you like to talk about the benefits of a good habit you've gotten into, call us at 312-263-ISLAM. That's 312-263-4752.
You're not a Facebook fan of Radio Islam? It's not too late. Our doors are always open at facebook.com/Radio Islam 1450. We are always a part of the family. Radio Islam is pleased to bring you another signature production, Nutrition That Fits, with registered dietitian and certified diabetes educator, Hana El Amin.
This is registered dietitian Hana El Amin with Nutrition That Fits for Radio Islam, giving nutrition advice that fits your life, your needs, and your goals. Well, it's that time of year again, the time when everyone is ringing in the new year and making resolutions to do things differently in 2015. Personally, I love this about the new year. Reflection and optimism fill the air, and Radio Islam wants to help keep it that way. However, the fact of the matter is that an extremely small percentage of people are successful with their resolutions. Research shows that most have given up by the end of January. But don't fret. I'm not here to bring the gloom and doom and leave you hanging. I want to help you be among those who are indeed successful with their 2015 resolutions. So here are a few tips. First, ask yourself if your goal is realistic or attainable. For example, if your goal is weight loss, a realistic goal is to lose about 1 pound a week. That's 52 pounds a year. If you have an intense workout regimen, that number may be a little higher. 52 pounds isn't too shabby. But if you think that still puts you far away from your long-term goal, remember that slow and steady wins the race. If you want to take weight off and keep it off, that's more likely when you lose weight gradually with lifestyle changes that you can maintain over the long term. Next, break your goal down into smaller goals and be very specific about them. Don't simply say, "I will eat healthy from now on." Break it down into smaller steps. Write down all areas for improvement and pick no more than 2 things to work on at a time. For example, I will eat breakfast daily and eliminate all sweetened beverages by the end of the month. Last but not least, get help and possibly a partner. This is probably the most important step of all. If possible, seek the help of a professional, such as a nutritionist or an appropriate counselor. This person can help you figure out what stands between you and your goal and give you a roadmap for getting there. You will come away with a clearer view and quite likely a plan that is easier and more effective than you'd anticipated. Also, research shows that the help and support of a professional and partners can increase your success. Whatever your New Year goals, I wish you immense success. For more on this topic, visit nutritionthatfits.com and sounddivision.com, where you can find articles on how to create plans for the new year and stick to them. Until next time, this is Hana El Amin with Nutrition That Fits for Radio Islam, giving nutrition advice that fits your life, your needs, and your goals.
You're listening to Radio Islam at WCB 1450 AM, Cicero, Chicago. Sorry about that, Olivia. I wasn't looking for your cue there. We reach the world, folks, by streaming live and at RadioIslam.com, where you can listen to our past shows, sign up for our e-newsletter, see us behind the scenes, and so much more, again, at RadioIslam.com. Radio Islam is a live call-in talk show. We're on the air every night from 6 to 7 p.m. Central, and I'm your host, Janann Hashem. And tonight we are exploring ways to create good habits for healthier living. And my next guest is social worker Abdulaziz Khalid Sayed. If you have your own tips, questions, or comments, feel free to go ahead and send them our way by calling us at 312-263-ISLAM. That's 312-263-4752. So my final guest for the evening is Abdulaziz Khalid Sayed, who is a school social worker working with high schoolers, I believe. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us tonight, Abdulaziz.
No, thank you for having me.
I'm so sorry. I don't have the bio in front of me. I see that you're a school social worker. I'm assuming it's with high school students. Is that correct?
Currently, no. So last year, I was at a high school, my internship was at Willowbrook High School. And then currently, I'm actually at two elementary schools.
Oh, elementary. Okay, well, good. You know, the elementary school students will eventually become high school students. So there.
Definitely.
Tap into the high schooler that's inside of them. And hey, high schoolers sometimes, many times, do act like, you know, primary schoolers. So
I mean, and they're two different, but, and you know, there's funny things and enjoyable things with each of them. Like, I go and play at recess with the elementary school kids, and high school kids would be like, "What are you doing?" So, you know, I have my fair share of fun.
I believe you do. I wouldn't doubt that at all. And you know what we're going to do? I think for this first segment, we're going to talk about just habits in general. And then sure. I would like to explore habits with kids. Because I think, you know, because you've spanned high school and elementary, I think we can tap into that expertise as well. So let's start off with work habits. You know, you're an adult. You're, you know, employed somewhere along with, you know, millions of other people out there. What are, like, maybe one or two good work habits we can get into as 2017 progresses ahead?
Ooh, that's a, I mean, I want to kind of start with a disclaimer that, you know, the world of change and habits is very vast, and there's, you know, numerous, countless books written on it. So I'm probably going to say what's on my mind at this point. So, and there's, you know, I like how you guys are asking your viewers to send some suggestions in as well. So the vast majority of work that's out there, it's pretty open. So with regards to work habits, you know, I think it depends upon the environment, to be honest. You know, I work virtually as well as in person. Some of my work is, you know, a remote via computer. And for that, I think it helps to have a schedule. If you have an online class, to basically, like, from this time to this time, I will be doing, these are my office hours. Like, you set your own time to do that because it's so unstructured. So, like, you know, many college students related to that are like, oh, when do I write my paper? Oh, rewrite it at the night before. Stay up for the all-nighter. So it helps to say, hey, just schedule time for that. And secondly, is to keep tabs on what's important, what's coming up. If you, there's a tool, I don't know what it's exactly called, but it's basically four squares. So it's like what's urgent, what's not urgent, what's immediate, what's not immediate. So, like, prioritize your work and try to get that. So I, you know, I have a work laptop, so I have the sticky note app. So I basically have organized that on my laptop, and where I need a certain report done by a certain date. So those two, I would say, if you're working remotely, if you don't have a deadline that's immediate, you know, try to schedule or block time to do the work, even if it's 10 minutes a day, that makes a huge difference. And secondly, prioritize your work to make sure, you know, you're able to do the immediate work at the same time plan for the one that needs to come 2 months down the line or a month down the line.
I like that your idea there of planning and bringing structure to your schedule, especially if it's a virtual schedule, and the idea of a four square thing of, you know, urgent, not urgent, immediate, not immediate. Mm-hmm. That's a good habit to get into. Just kind of give you focus and to move things forward. Mm-hmm. What about exercise habits? It's really hard, especially in the winter time, to get into an exercise regime. But, you know, I have done a lot of shows with health and healthy living. And
sure.
One of the constant, you know, reminders is we've got to exercise. So what do you recommend for, like, getting, how to get into a good exercise habit?
You know, one of the things I'm going to add to that is, you know, the idea is many of us start these habits without exactly knowing why. So anything with regards to any habit, I think it's really important to exercise the power of why and knowing clearly why one is doing what they're doing. Because, you know, New Year come around, we all set our new habits or goals, and then we usually end up failing because we don't really know exactly why. It's like, oh, I want to get healthy. I want to get fit. Well, why? What's the point? You know, kind of go deeper. So that's always important. But in terms of exercise itself, I think, you know, I'm biased, let me be honest, because, you know, I started working out really rigorously last year, did lifting and, you know, strict diet regimen and things like that. I recently attended a seminar by Hakeem Archuleta, who's a Hakeem based out of, I think he's in, I can't remember what state, but basically he was saying, you know, the prophetic model is actually to do things in moderation and eating and, you know, just eat less, but eat, you know, fruitful things. And exercise, he recommended one thing that I'm going to be starting myself, so, you know, I'm putting this out there. There's actually a workout regimen that's only 11 minutes long. It's developed by the Canadian Air Force. It's called 5BX for men, and for women it's called, like, 10BX. So basically it is that you're going to be moving your level of exercise, the exercise that you're doing, you have to do it within 11 minutes. So you can progress to the next stage if you keep working on it. So if you can Google it, it'll come up. And the reason why I recommend this is because, you know, I remember the work, like, stress of, like, because I was out of high school, so I could go work out in the gym. But, like, you need a gym membership. You need to start driving there. You need to do this. You need to put your shoes on. You need to get your pre-workout, get your post-workout. I mean, it's just a lot. It's good, but it's a lot. So this is all you need is a good pair of shoes and just stand up, and you need your own body. So I think you have to start somewhere. This would be a great place to start. So if you want to Google that, I looked it up. The plan is there. Start with that, honestly.
All right. So, you know, simple steps. This is what we said earlier in the show. It just, you know, start with small steps and just be consistent with them. That's the best thing that you
exactly.
can do.
Exactly.
Now, exercise habits, that reminds me of recess and kids. And they go out for recess all the time. So you can go ahead and go out for a quick walk, you know, just get some fresh air. Let's go ahead and shift and take a quick look at, excuse me, kids and developing good habits. What one suggestion would you recommend for teenagers who are starting to have a heavier load to, oh my gosh, I'm overcoming a cold. I've been good this whole hour.
I know.
to get into good habit for studying.
To be very honest, I would actually question why you're having such a heavier load. You know, I remember when I was at the high school, you know, there was a student who was, you know, the outstanding student was on the, you know, her face, you know, her picture was on the wall, and everybody was like, this is the girl. She comes in my office, and she's like, I can't do this anymore. And I was like, whoa, what happened here? So she sits down and she's like, I can't be the perfect daughter. I can't be the perfect this and that, you know, et cetera. We make a schedule in person, and this girl would leave at 6 o'clock in the morning, and come back some nights at 10 p.m. And she makes a schedule, and I give it to, and I put it in her face. I'm like, do you see a problem with this? She's like, yeah, I don't have any time for myself. I'm like, exactly. So with that preface, I would like to go and ask and see if it's necessary to do a lot of these things that many teenagers or high achieving teenagers find themselves doing. Now with that being said, in terms of studying habits, really, I would personally argue that cutting out distractions is huge, and getting good sleep. If you know, part of it, you know, there's a lot of talk about time management. It's more about energy management, because a lot of times your body can't take, like if you're at 12 p.m., like it's hard for you to actually go write a paper, like your quality will be very low. So it's about making sure what needs to get done and making sure that you cut out the small distractions at a high school level, because I think that they're pretty high, especially technology. Cut them out to as much as you can. Put them on airplane mode. Download an app that's going to block your internet access for a little bit, and then get back on it when you're done with your work. You have to hold yourself accountable, or have your friend hold you accountable. I mean, do what you need to.
You know, one last question I'm going to ask you about has to do with how can we develop habits to decrease anger? I feel that for some reason our environment today is very hostile. And people are angry. I mean, they're honking on the horns, at least here in Chicago, much more frequently and more easily than years you know, gone by. So what do you suggest a person can do to just abate the anger and to increase their calm?
That's a good question. I would say, to be honest, anger is usually preceded by something else. Anger is a secondary emotion. Usually there's sadness or something else that's underneath the surface. So developing awareness of self, you know, we talk about meditation and we talk about mindfulness, because there's usually something that someone says, something that someone does that puts us on edge. And, you know, like, for example, if I had a great day and I don't have to worry about something, my child drops, I don't have a child, I'm just giving an example, it drops the milk on the floor, I'm going to be like, oh, that's okay, it happens, it's an accident. But on another day, I'm having a horrible day at work, and I come home, and the same thing happens, I'm going to blow up, and we're like, what's wrong with you? Why do you keep dropping the milk? So that being said, two things. One is trying to be more mindful of ourselves and how we're feeling and how we're what our emotions are like. So for that, it would be we need to kind of do a mental check, like basically take a moment to just breathe and say, okay, what's going on? Am I doing all right? Secondly would be daily or consistent meditation or just calm, meaning 10 minutes, 15 minutes of just stillness, nothing, because it allows us to be able to recognize what's happening so that we can process what's happened, so that when something, you know, difficult is going to happen, like, you know, with children or other places, it allows us to know, hey, I'm feeling a little bit upset here, so I can try and navigate this better because I'm aware that I'm a little upset right now. Instead of, oh, nothing's wrong, and then kid drops something, and it's like, argh!
Right.
Yeah, so I would say those two things.
And on that note, our time has expired. We're at 7 o'clock. I have to thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You got it.
Hope you feel better.
Thank you very much. That was school social worker Abdulaziz Khalid Sayed. Folks, that's a wrap on Radio Islam. Sound Vision is a foundation. Radio Islam is a Sound Vision Foundation production. The thoughts expressed tonight, those are the hosts and guests and now the Sound Vision Foundation. Our executive producers, Abdul Malik Majad. Radio Sound's production team includes Olivia Richardson, assistant producer is Wahaj Khan, and tonight's program is engineered by Leonard Murphy. You can catch all of our past shows at radiosound.com, where we also stream live, and tune in tomorrow's Radio Sound as we bring you another great show right here at Radio Sound, 6 to 7 p.m. Central. Folks, Happy New Year, y'all. Take it easy out there. The bank.